this, Daniel. Not only is this one for $100,000, if you make it, we'll add another $100,000 to the $500,000 donation we're about to make from College Game Day to the hurricane relief. It could be $600,000 if you make this, with $100,000 going into your pocket. Daniel, this is bigger than you. Let's make a kick.
Well, way to overcome the shoes here. That was a heck of an effort.
Let's go, Daniel.
Right here. You want to sign up here or you want it over there?
I might have got bamboozled here. These kids got big brains. This kid's building a bridge. He might have hustled me, Steve.
Mike.
Put the cop in the ear in the back.
Come on, dude. Come on, you got this.
In Berkeley, California.
You got it.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know how you can't have chills, right? Cal can blow a 25-point lead and lose by one. The Niners can blow a 13-point lead and lose by one, but you can't take anything away from Dan with Vans.
Incredible.
He is joining us live right now. Dan, who you may have seen either on social media or if you were blessed enough to be right there among the thousands who brought in College Game Day and watched Daniel kick the ball through the uprights and not only win a ton of money for the hurricane efforts, but apparently a ton of money for himself as well. Hey, Dan, who joins us now on the River Islands guest line, that was fun. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, I feel fantastic and just still excited even today.
How did this all come together, Daniel?
Well, me and a couple friends have planned to go to the game day late at night the day before. And we went there and we were lucky enough to get into the actual pit. And as we got into the pit, we were handed a raffle ticket and mine was called. So I was able to kick it.
And when your raffle ticket got called, did you at all think about your choice of footwear on the day? Because, you know, if you're going to kick a field goal for $100,000, I don't know, Vans? Were you thinking at all about maybe going barefoot?
I had asked, but it was against the rules. You had to have shoes on. And then so I asked if I could maybe switch shoes with a friend of mine in the crowd. But eventually, ultimately, I chose to stick with the Vans and hope that it worked out.
I want to know if you might borrow a phrase from Steve Wilkes last year, who at one point said, "I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this." Daniel, are you built for this? Do you like kick on the side on the weekends? Like how are you able to do this?
I still have no idea. Just aimed and prayed, I guess.
So like this is, I mean, you're not a soccer player. You don't play mud football with your friends. I mean, this is not something that you practice at all?
It isn't something that I practice, but I do play soccer, so I have got a little bit of practice in that area.
Yeah, and practice makes perfect. And so your raffle is called, and you get out there, and you got McAfee and Kirk Herbstreit as the holder, for crying out loud. What was the adrenaline like and the nerves with all those thousands of people chanting your name?
It was through the roof for sure. I couldn't think. I couldn't nothing. It was just all crazy excitement.
So Daniel, and we're talking to Daniel, who you may have seen kicked one through the uprights in the midst of the College Game Day madness at Cal over the weekend. Daniel, you missed the first one wide right. Did you know that you were going to get another chance? Is that something they always do?
I didn't. I had no idea. I didn't think that. I thought when I missed that was it, but luckily, I got a second chance.
Okay, and then what happens after? Are you immediately whisked into a tent where you have to sign papers or something? Like, you're going to get $100,000.
Yeah, I was moved to behind the stage, and they told me all what I had to do and all the papers I had to fill out. So I got those papers, and I left after that.
I love it. Tax documents, I'm sure, were involved, and maybe an oversized check. And you get home, and you start to think about having $100,000. And so what are you going to do with your $100,000? I'm sure there's some student loan that's going to be paid off, but got to be something fun you're going to do with $100 large.
Absolutely. I definitely got to think about paying off some tuition. But I still haven't decided. Maybe tickets to the World Cup coming here, 2026, but I'm not exactly sure.
You are a soccer guy, Daniel, you sneaky rabbit.
I am.
Yeah, look at you. All right, so I can't even wrap my head around this. So the $100,000, does it have to go to tuition, or like, did you just get $100,000?
I just got $100,000.
Yeah. 100 grand. Boom.
What? And did you, like, is it going to be Zelle or PayPal? Or, like, are they sending you something? Like, how does this work?
I definitely don't think it's going to be one of those apps.
Yeah. It's going to be, I'm sure, a check that,
to go through and to get all that. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, we lost the phone there for a little bit, but he said there's a process to go through.
Yeah, speaking of losing, I don't know if you saw, but the Niners lost their kicker, and you're fresh off a big kick in Vans. Any thought of throwing your hat into the ring for being the Niners' new kicker?
That's too much pressure, even way more than what I went through, so I don't think so.
Did you say after you signed all the docs that you just went home, or did you go to the game that night?
I went to the game.
You did?
Yeah, I went to the game.
You did. Okay. And what was that experience like after what had happened in the morning? Were you like a celeb?
I was getting asked for some pictures a little bit, but no, not that big of a celebrity.
Any phone call from Vans themselves about a possible long-term sponsorship deal?
There is some contact. I have texted with some people from Vans, but I don't know for sure what's going to happen.
I mean,
that something does happen.
Yeah, at least get some kicks out of this, right?
I mean, yeah, it's more than just kicks. I'm thinking about a 3-year deal here, Dan, in the Vans. I mean, for crying out loud, you put Vans back on the map single-handedly.
hopefully.
Dan, did you go to class today?
I just got out of class right now. I'm in one of the buildings next to my class.
You went to what class was it?
Calculus, a math class.
Adding up $100,000. I mean, I would have taken Monday morning off.
Yeah, Berkeley doesn't care how many kicks you made.
Yeah,
you know.
I wish I could too, but I have a midterm that I have to prepare for, so no days off, unfortunately.
No days off. I love it.
It's incredible.
Dan in the Vans.
Daniel, congratulations. Thank you for making us smile this weekend, because I don't know if you noticed this. The rest of the weekend sucked, so it was pretty much all you, man.
Yeah. I would have had a bad weekend if it wasn't for that kick, so I'm glad that happened.
You and the Padres in game 2. That's the only good thing that happened this weekend. So, yeah, good on you, man. Thanks for calling. That was fun.
No problem. Thank you so much, guys.
There he goes. Dan in Vans.
Right.
100 grand.
And future with Vans, because, you know, the Vans were as much a part of the moment as it was Dan in the Vans.
No doubt.
He came out in the Spicoli checkerboard Vans, and they're making fun of him and, like, highlighting his shoes, and then he drills the kick. So I'm not surprised that there's been some conversation between he and the Vans.
Not only is it amazing that the ball went through the upright, you want to know what's the even bigger upset? How did the shoe not fly off?
Totally.
I've tried to do that before. You ever try to kick a football with just, like, slip-on sneaks?
Yeah, the shoe's going to fly.
They go flying as far as the ball does.
And I love that he was not allowed to go barefoot, and he actually thought about it because, you know, that's against the rules. I had no idea that this fun little gimmicky moment had such stringent paperwork and rules.
Of course. Yeah. For $100,000? Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I knew he was going to get whisked away to the blue tent like he had been concussed.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no way you're seeing your friends after that. Drink time is over. We got papers for you to sign.
That's tax docs, no doubt.
Yeah.
When I was on Wheel of Fortune, even though I only won $4,000, you go right up to corporate and you sit down and you boop, boop, boop. Same thing.
Man.
All the forms, and then they whisk you to the exit.
I'm telling you, though, man, he won the weekend.
He was awesome.
He won the weekend. I'm trying to remember Saturday, what we do. Yeah. I went and played golf with the boys.
Nice.
And so we were just completely tapped out all day. And I get home at dinner times. First thing Christy says to me, "Did you see Daniel?" And I'm like, "Who's Daniel?" Well, I don't know. Who's Daniel? She's like, "Just go on your phone and search Daniel." And I sat down and I watched that whole thing. And here we are talking to him a couple
Pretty
days
awesome.
later.
And I was wondering, like, how he got hooked up, and just a raffle. So everyone who got in the pit, and there was, I don't even know, Lucas, we can get your thoughts, because Lucas, half our staff was out there.
Yeah, Luke, did you get a raffle ticket?
I don't think he made it in the pit.
I don't know how that even works. Do you have to be a student to get in the raffle?
I don't know.
I think the first 400 offered. People got to go in the pit, which was like the closest area to the stage, and those were the people that got the raffle tickets.
We were there Friday night, and we were, after we had dinner and stuff, we just wanted to see what was going on the campus, and we showed up around 10 p.m. Okay. There were already a couple hundred people getting ready, getting in line. It was already a scene. People getting hammered, people eating donuts. It was really fun.
Beer and donuts. What else is there on
college,
a weekend
man.
In college?
It's so good.
You didn't stay overnight, did you?
We actually had a hotel just a couple blocks down because we wanted to get up like 6 hours later.
It's
to get
veteran
out
move.
Wow.
And did you go back and nap after game day? Or did you
not
guys
nap, just watch
it?
Football.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I pretty much pulled a 12-hour day? No, 18-hour day?
Yeah.
It's stayed through the end of the
college. It's a veteran move. It's also a fancy move. Like a college student would be like, yeah, you have a job.
Right.
I'm not going to get a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, that was fun. All right, now back to the crappy stuff. The Niners blew another game. 888-957-957 is the number. Something looks wrong. What is it? We are taking your calls. Michael, Diego, stay right where you are. We're coming to the rest of you. 888-957-9570. Something clearly is off. What is it in your mind? We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water, Willard and Dibbs.
What makes Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water different? We always bottle our Alpine Spring Water less than 1.5 miles from the spring source, and all our bottles are made with 50% recycled plastic from our own recycling plants. Crystal Geyser, bottled at the spring source.
This is the day of the big sale at your gift shop.
Welcome in.
So this isn't just a big day for your business. It's a big day for the network keeping it all connected. That is, if it can handle the pressure.
Next in line, please.
So is it possible to get business internet you can really count on? It is. With 99.9% network reliability from Comcast Business. It's like this neat little bow.
Do you like that gift wrap?
Really ties it all together. Reliable internet for your business. It's not just possible. It's happening. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Switch to Comcast Business and get started with reliable internet and advanced security for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year agreement. Plus, ask how to get up to a $500 prepaid card with a qualifying internet package. Don't wait. Call or go online to switch today. Offer ends 10/13/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 150 megabit per second internet. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply.
When back to the office means back in traffic.
There's a car facing sideways. The traffic is slowing down as you approach the scene.
You can rely on your local Honda dealer's traffic center.
It's not looking good right now. We've got a crash.
From your traffic leader, KCBS.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-700-6898. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-700-6898. That's 800-700-6898. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-700-6898. 800-700-6898.
Your car today at carsforkids.org. Your car, running or not, can be picked up as soon as the next day. No title, no problem. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or go online at carsforkids.org to donate today.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S-CARS-FOR-KIDS. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Now at
accepting donations of land, homes, buildings, or any kind of real estate.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice, but now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand-name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
what if I told you that there was a single management software that could handle your CRM, accounting, manufacturing, marketing, inventory, sales, and everything in between for a fraction of the cost of the dozens of disconnected platforms most companies rely on to manage their business? Sounds pretty good, right? Well, that's Odoo. Odoo is the end-all, be-all for any business of any size. And it's ready to help your company reach the next level and beyond. Learn more at Odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
This season, get premium tech that inspires joy from Dell Technologies. Bring projects to life with the XPS 16. It delivers supercharged processing for enhanced productivity and freedom to express yourself. Performance-class Dell PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors deliver a dedicated engine to help accelerate AI. Enjoy free shipping, Dell rewards, and expert support. When you get a Dell PC with AI, it gives back. Shop now at Dell.com/deals.
JP, we all had our part. I mean, we had four possessions in the second half, and we had three turnovers and one turnover on down. So to make it come down to the last turnover is, you know, the easier way out, but that's not the case. All these plays affect the whole game, and, you know, we didn't score in the second half, and the four times we got the ball, basically four turnovers when you turn it over on down. So this was just one part of that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, all fair. I will say this, just from an emotional standpoint, there was only one play where I stood up off of the couch and I'm like, the game's going to end right here. Stood up when Kyler Murray hucked the ball down the left sideline off of his back foot with three 49er defenders literally about to take him down. If that goes incomplete, the Niners win the football game. But beautiful play by Kyler Murray. Just a beautiful play by Kyler Murray. Isaac Yiadom, I would argue, probably needs to be in better position there. Marvin Harrison has shown himself to be a good, solid receiver. They largely kept him in check. I think he only had two catches in the game, but that was one of them. And that was on fourth and five, and it moved the sticks and led to what eventually was the game-winning field goal.
Yep, and just a great play and a great catch. And, you know, Yiadom, again, this is one thing that I've had issue with his defense is you don't have a match between the pass rush and the coverage. And that was one where you blitzed and Floyd got there. He got the hit on Murray, but Murray backpedaled just enough and threw it just high enough and far enough in front of Yiadom, who was not close enough. He was in a trail technique on Harrison going across and he was a couple yards away. He needs to be closer to the offensive player, and that if you're going to blitz, you got to have blanket coverage, and they didn't. And the play before they blitzed, and they were able to knock the pass down, and it looked like they were going to escape after all of that, not scoring at all, and having Brock throw a bad pick to open the half, and a fumble from Mason. It looked like you're going to get away with it, but then they make a huge play on fourth down, and they convert it, and they go on to win the game.
So that's the question we're playing with today. It clearly looks like something is off, but what is it? And we acknowledge there's a bunch of things. There's a bunch of different answers, but that's also kind of the point. You know, what is at the forefront of your mind? For me, it just feels like the 49ers are too married to structure. I like, it would be silly in my mind at this point to not look at the fourth quarters of football games, because the Niners are very, very good at getting the lead. But whether it's the Super Bowl last year, the Super Bowl a number of years ago, the Rams game, the Cardinals game, and just the reputation of Kyle Shanahan, which is that you can get a lead, you're in great shape. If you're trying to come from behind, that's a lot harder with the system and the scheme that they run. And so to me, it feels like when things are going according to plan, the 49ers are the better football team out there. But often, especially in pro sports, things don't go to plan. Or somebody punches you back. Or somebody accidentally drops a pass or drops a ball. And once chaos comes, the 49ers look lost. They look completely uncomfortable, out of their zone.
Well, this, for me, was both sides of the football. And in the fourth quarter, you had one drive, and your drive went really well until it didn't. I mean, you went down from your own 30 down to the 8-yard line. So you had 62 yards on the drive, and that was exactly what you needed the drive to be, which was a pass to Mason, a couple of Mason runs, a great catch from Ayuk for 20 yards. That was exactly what you wanted out of the fourth quarter. Eat the clock, get down there, and score. But you got to the 8-yard line, and your young running back, he fumbled, and you know, he got punched in the head, and then the punch went through and knocked the ball out, and that was just a great defensive play. And Mason was doing what he's done all year, which is fighting for additional yards. And it's hard to say, well, in that time, just go down. Just right. Go down, Jordan, because he's been beating the defense up. He's stiff-arming guys. He's running through tackles. And so you can't all of a sudden tell a guy, just go down, you know, instead of fumbling, and the ball got punched out.
He literally was going down.
It was a second effort. He was fighting for more.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm with you. There's not, like, in those moments, you can't ask someone to react that way. You're running the football. You're trying to get as many yards as you can. All right, 888-957-9570. If we can all agree something's off, what is it? We'll take your calls. Diego in Oakland. Hi, Diego. Thanks for calling. What do you got?
Fellas, I come bearing right on the table, you know, wrong time, but, you know, it's a good time. And at the risk of sounding like a bandwagon, I'm a 15-year Niner fan. I'm here to say that the loss to the Chiefs, the second one, has dealt a bigger blow to this team's identity and culture than we are giving it credit for. This isn't a hangover, as you know it. This is straight up the Niners going through an identity crisis. When this team was a bottom feeder in 2018 and we got Debo and Bosa, that was the catalyst for 2019. It's been 5 years now. All that potential that they had, all those hopes, all those plans, it's been 5 years. That potential has been used up. That window, that Super Bowl window, is narrower than ever. We had Revenge Tour 2020. We had the LA game. We had the Philly game. We had both of the Chiefs games. And it's not a shock to me that the Niners are who they used to be. And who knows if they'll ever be again, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Diego, you sound like you're in give-up mode. I I'm just being honest. When I hear your tone.
Not at all.
Well, you tell me. You said it's over. The window is closed as it's ever been. It's been 5 years. All these things. Like, is your thought right now that this season is either already on the brink or already the ship has already sailed?
At the brink, yes. We were one loss away from seeing posts on Twitter and Instagram about how great of a season it was, how we're going to work hard the rest of the year, and next year we're going to get back to it. And it's not really, I understand, I'm not here to question the motivation of grown men, a grown professional man. I'm not here to do that. But what I will say is, if you run it back with the same team that you've already, with the same mindset, with the same scheme, whatever you want to call it, the same it, and you've already lost twice, is there ground to say that maybe we should switch it up a bit? Are we really just going to keep running into a wall until that wall breaks? Because I'm down for that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know what the switch up is.
Yeah, Diego,
thanks, Diego. And I mean, if you want to switch it up, then it's either going to be a dramatic switch, like a coordinator change or a special teams coach. Yeah, thank you. That was the slowest rat ever that would eventually made it to the table.
Yeah,
but
better late than never.
If you really want to switch it up, I don't know what that switch is. One thing I do know, Mark, is that these losses are alarming to me for one particular reason, and we're not used to seeing this. And you mentioned the four playoff years, 19, 21, 22, and 23, right? They went four playoff years. In those years, they were 30-6 when they won the time of possession battle. 36 times they had more possession than the other team. 30 of those games they won, not including 5-1 in the postseason. Similarly, so 35-7. This year they've won the time of possession all five games, and they're 2-3.
They're 2-3.
So I'm seeing a team that is really doing what they normally do: possess it, keep it, control it.
Yes, and get the lead.
But they're not closing.
Yep.
And I'm just looking back at the Rams game and the errors, the Moody missed field goal, the PI. You had
the punt
Moody
return.
Got beat 50 yards, the punt return.
The punt return.
Mistakes. And so I don't know. That to me is the big question. Why are these players, who are still really good players, I think, why are you not able to close? And yesterday was the Mason fumble, and it was, you know, a 4th-and-5 play where Kyler Murray throws one up for grabs, and you're just not able to get a pass break up there. You can't get off the field. Your red zone stinks. Like, what is missing? What's the missing ingredient?
Well, I mean, that is still TBD. I do think that we're maybe, here's something that we haven't talked about yet, and I think it's a very, very significant factor in what we're all talking about. For instance, Diego says, you know, we're one loss away from people saying, boy, that was a great season. You know, we'll try better next year. We'll do this, that, and the other. Not even close. My gosh, I don't know. Have y'all looked around the NFL and just play the eye test game? Put the records aside. I understand that Minnesota's 5-0. So if you want to say that the one seed is on the brink, great. Say that the one seed is on the brink. The division is so far from on the brink, it's not even funny. They'll be in first place if they win 72 hours from now. I understand that's a huge if, but if they do, that's where they sit at least until we get to Sunday. If you look around the league and just ask yourself, who looks awesome? Who looks amazing around the league? I would argue damn near next to nobody. There is so much parity. There's so much feeling it out, figuring it out. From the fact that the Commanders might be 4-1 to the fact that the entire NFC West might be 500 or under by Thursday night, and we could keep going. The Bills have now lost 2 in a row. Is anybody good in the AFC East? You can look around this thing and realize that right now, teams that are 2-3 are right in the thick of the playoff chase. They're absolutely, I'm not saying that this is good. It's not. This is where you lose out on some of the home field advantage stuff at the end of the year. But I am reacting to somebody who thinks that the season's on the brink. I disagree.
I think it's on the brink. If they lose on Thursday to Seattle and you fall to 2-4 and you're 0-3 in the division, that doesn't mean that your season's over, but that means that to win the division is going to be an uphill battle. And you can kiss the one seed goodbye if you lose on Thursday and you fall to 2-4.
Minnesota,
and as we've seen, this team, the Niners, when they don't have a bye and they don't have home field advantage, they don't make it to the Super Bowl. That's just been the way it's gone under Kyle Shanahan.
Fair enough.
So
I also think, though, when people say that, like, and I didn't know if he was talking about two games or two times to the Super Bowl, when he says, hey, we've tried this two times and it didn't work, so why are we still doing this? That's one of the chasms that I personally see out there, which is just that a fan, and I get this, we fans are going to look at losses in the playoffs and call it a failed season. And I'm not saying that the team doesn't view that as a failure, but they certainly don't look at it as a reason to be like, well, let's just do something completely different.
Exactly.
This isn't working. They don't look at it like that. If you go to the overtime in the Super Bowl, they're not like, well, back to the drawing board. Let's figure out something completely different so how we can structure an NFL team. No, they look at it like, they're right there.
Right.
They're right freaking there.
One of his 20 fourth quarter blown leads, the Super Bowl,
fair
Kyle
enough.
Shanahan.
Yeah.
So for me, as you're looking at like making changes, one thing I'm interested in, and we'll never get the answer, but internally, when Kyle Shanahan takes a look at what's going on, why are you blowing these 10-point leads, where are the shortcomings within the building? Not only the players, because if Mason doesn't fumble, you win the game. If Moody doesn't get hurt, you probably win the game. If you knock down a 4th-and-5 pass, you probably win the game. Whatever. Those are plays that didn't get made. But I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan and your structure. What's going on with the way you're doing things that isn't working, that needs to be changed? Because I see a coach who is so good at play design and play calling, but there are things I feel that are falling between the cracks.
Do you feel like more so, because this is, I mean, it's a very fair question. Is it different this year, or you felt that way in years past at times?
I think it's worse now than it's been.
And why would that be?
Because
like
I think...
you said this morning they don't look buttoned up.
Right.
And I think that's fair. So what is that?
Well, it's coaching. For me, it's coaching, right, and it's also...
The approach didn't change. It's not like, you know what I mean?
You have a new defensive coordinator.
Okay.
And your special teams are a mess. And your special teams coordinator's been here for a few years now. And that unit is, I mean, to say it's a disaster.
No, but that haven't they often felt wobbly through the years? People have had special teams concerns for a long time.
Right. So why can't we get that fixed?
I don't know.
And I look at yesterday, and you had a blocked field goal for a touchdown, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is going to be a special teams get-right game. And then I see a 61-yard punt to start the second half. Trent Taylor with a fair catch. And he's on his own 13-yard line. He only played two plays on special teams. Why is he back there returning punts if he's not going to return punts? I mean, do we just need a designated catcher back there?
Yeah, what I don't know, and you and I were talking about this before the show, I don't know if he was told to do a fair catch or if he decided to. I did note that he was shaking his head right away when he made the fair catch. In the moment, I took that as him being frustrated with himself, but I don't know. I don't know what conversations have happened. I don't know if the team's got PTSD about punt returns.
Right.
And they might.
Yeah.
They might.
Well, I mean, that was a punt, a booming punt, and you got a chance to, I don't know, maybe make a play.
Yep.
And instead, you fair catch it, and then four plays later, Brock throws a pick at his own 24, and now Arizona's back in the ball game.
Let's go to Michael in San Jose. Hi, Michael. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I got a question, and I take the answer off the phone.
Oh.
This is my first time calling, and I am kind of mad about the play calls. I'm mad about our offensive line. And why can't we change it up like we did the Rams last year? I don't know if you remember that game. Quick passes right out of Purdy's hand. Purdy was on the money. They kicked the crap out of the Rams, and they didn't even know what the hell was happening. That's not Kyle Shanahan. But it was. He got the ball out of Purdy's hand. Okay? On the red zone, we don't do screen passes. Okay, that could help. And then if you're doing the quick passes over the middle, getting the ball out of his hand, then you can go the long ball with Kittle and Mason as your check down. I don't see that.
Well, Michael, why do you think
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, all of us are looking at plays, and we want this, that, and the other, you know, like it sounds to me like you're suggesting this should kind of look exactly the same every week. You know, respectfully, my response to that would be that that's not how the NFL works. The other team's scouting, they're looking at tape. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you got to stay one step ahead, or at least try.
Well, with the Rams, they changed it up because the Rams were kicking the crap out of our offensive line. And if you remember, a year ago, we had the same problem with our offensive line.
Are you talking about the Ram game from 2 weeks ago?
No, I'm talking about the Ram game about a year ago. Remember when we were getting our ass whipped by the Rams?
Excuse me. You're talking about
Mike. You're angry. You're angry, Mike. It's awesome.
You're talking about week two.
We got beat up.
Week two,
And then they know that Arizona does blitz. Okay, they change it up. God darn it! I mean, change some of the plays. Why do we got Purdy running all over the dang place? Mm. You know, it's because the offensive line can't hold him for that 3 or 4 second line. Get the ball out of his damn hand.
Thank you, Michael.
Mike, I mean, that might be my favorite call ever. Call again, Michael, please. First time caller. Hey, he came in hot.
He did.
I think he makes He makes some good points, though. And this is what I texted to overtime last night because, gosh darn it, they're trying to hold it for 3 and 4 seconds, and the offensive line is breaking down. How about some screens? How about you run a draw, for crying out loud? For Christ's sake, Kyle, run a draw. Seriously, Mark, I do think, sorry, he was great. Michael, I'm only mocking you because you were incredible. I do think they need to vary up the passing game a little bit more. When they got the touchdown in the red zone, that was a quick hitter.
Okay, but are we, so what we're saying, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding.
Mix up the approach, Kyle.
Yeah.
Michael's mad.
Are we feeling like Brock is just dropping back and is just sitting back there, and now he goes back there so he could do his pirouettes and run around in circles and look like a crazy person? We're not comfortable with this?
Not all the time.
I'm asking.
Now, what
genuinely, I'm asking.
Yes, what we're saying is we want a little bit more of a varied approach to the pass game, because it seems like what they're doing is Brock Purdy, 5-step drop, and they're looking to have slower developing routes. Uh-huh. And if the protection breaks down, Brock has no choice but to do multiple pirouettes and make things happen.
Are you asking?
I'm asking for some dink and dunk in there.
All right. Well, now I'm going to get mad.
I'm asking for more than just...
I'm sorry. I'm going to get mad.
They're throwing the ball down the field too much.
Got to stop doing this every Monday where we ask for the opposite thing that we asked for the week before.
I'm asking for variety, Mark. I need variety.
And I don't just mean you. We got to stop. Jordan Mason should not have 20 carries. Next week, Jordan Mason should have more than 15 carries.
14, Mark.
What is going on here?
I'm not criticizing the play calling.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Like, it just, to me, it's so hindsight 2020. It's such cherry picking. Like, I'm not even saying that some of this is not fair, but we've been screaming for 2 years. Come on, Brock. Show us something. Why don't you go be the reason? Now this guy's out here doing pirouettes and backflips all over the place. Still one of the top-rated passers in the league at this hour. Okay? Still over 100 with his QBR. Still top 10. All of that. And now we want him to go back to bubble screens.
We want a variety. We want, Mark, you know what we want?
You don't see a variety? You just watched the game again this morning.
Yeah, not a lot of variety.
No?
I don't remember even one screen pass, for example. You've got Deebo Samuel, who
looked sluggish yesterday.
How would you know? He didn't even get much of a chance to do anything.
Well, wait a minute. We've been telling Brandon Ayuk for 4 weeks that the chances he gets are his responsibility.
Brandon was great.
He was fantastic.
You need Deebo. Debo's a guy who needs the ball in his hands right away. And I'm looking at the game log, and second possession, Deebo, 11-yard reception, kapow. And that's going to do it for Deebo for about an hour and a half. Where's the bubble screen to Deebo?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wide receiver screen. We know that J.P. Mason can actually catch the ball. Where's the screen to Mason? Where's the draw? If your offensive line is struggling to block people, then you do things to take advantage of the defense's aggressiveness.
But the issue here is what it sounds like to me, and this is what's important here. There's two different things, two different reasons for offensive failure. The second half of the game yesterday was massive offensive failure, but none of it had to do with not moving the ball. It had to do with dropping the ball. It had to do with giving the ball to the other team. Watch the Dolphins play. watch the Patriots play.
That was a tough watch.
That's when the ball doesn't move. I've got a problem with play calling when the ball doesn't move. But the Niners don't have that problem. What they have is the problem that you already brought up. It's about being buttoned up. It's about being fine-tuned. It's about urgency. It's about doing your job and taking care of your job. But I don't see a team that's having a hard time moving the ball up and down the field. They move the ball up and down the field. The plays often work until someone bats a ball or drops a ball or doesn't get rid of a ball on time when there's a blitz coming right in front of your face. Brock Purdy was not good yesterday. Kyle Shanahan, I would argue, was not good yesterday, but for other reasons. And you and I talked about this, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me. You've come here after the losses this year and been like, there are problems. Play calling's not one of them.
I don't think the play calling was it yesterday.
Same. And that's all I'm saying right now.
I mean, we can go through the second half possessions, which were pick, downs, fumble, pick. Those are your four possessions.
Yes. Now, the red zone is where they're... Now, that's a conversation.
Yeah.
The play calling in the red zone.
Agreed.
Because there, the ball doesn't move.
It's an idea in the red zone. Screen or a draw. Get Debo the ball, for crying out loud.
Damn it!
Seriously. Love Michael.
We're presented by Fremont Bank.
God.
Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right. So what do you see? Obviously, something's off. What is it? 888-957-9570. Will, Mike, stay right where you are. Here we come on Willard and Dibbs.
Arizona does blitz, okay? They change it up. God darn it. I mean, change some of the plays. Why do we got Purdy running all over the dang place?
Mm.
You know? It's because the offensive line can't hold him. Get the ball out of his damn hand.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
You know what I keep hearing sort of rebooted and I don't know what to do with sometimes? It's sort of like, okay, here's this thing. Whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility is this? I mean, every parent goes through this, right?
Yeah.
Like, at what age do you need to dress yourself? What age do you need to brush your own teeth?
Oh, yeah.
At what age do you need to cook your own dinner? At what age do you need to get your own butt to wherever you need? Like, all of that stuff. All right, so get the ball out of Purdy's hands. Whose responsibility is that?
It's Brock's in part, but it's also by design. If you have if you have a play where, I don't know, a play that you see a lot of teams run, you got a bunch formation, three receivers to one side, and on the snap, you have the one receiver jump back two steps, and you throw the ball to him immediately. And then the other two guys go about the blocking, and that would be Debo, and Debo catches it, and now he gets to do some Debo things. I don't see an offense right now that has a lot of quick hitters designed. And I know what you said earlier, Mark, and you're right, because all people have said is, you know, let Brock cook and let's see if he can throw it down the field and, you know, let Brock throw the ball and run some deep routes and all the rest of it. And what we're seeing now is primarily or solely those types of routes where it's Ayuk and a deep comeback or a deep crosser or deeper routes. I'm not seeing anything short and underneath. I know it sounds crazy after months and months of us saying, you know, come on, Kyle, loosen it up. Now I'm saying tighten it up.
Didn't George Kittle have seven catches for not even 50 yards?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
It's about right.
Okay.
He had one huge drop, too. And his touchdown was a 5 yard or so.
The drop was the 4th and 23 play, though, wasn't it?
No, that one wasn't a drop. That one he got absolutely taken apart.
What was the drop?
Let me find it. It was in the second half. It was just a flat-out drop. It was a Kittle, just a drop. Let me find it here.
Yeah, he, like,
is 8 for 64, by the way.
Okay, that's 8 yards a catch. That's not in the intermediate? That's not using George Kittle in the intermediate? 8 catches, 8 times.
Right, I'm looking for Debo in the quick stuff, like, quarterback gets the ball and it's out within a second. And Tom Brady actually joked about it in the broadcast yesterday on the one play that Brock had it for 11 seconds. And, you know, the play-by-play guy was like, Kevin Burkhardt's like, you ever had it for 11 seconds? Tom's like, never more than two. Because that's Brady would just, boop, and, you know, Brady out. Yeah, well, it was
Brady,
out.
Brady can't run.
Right, and Brock can, but I do think that this offense would be better served by having at least some quicker developing plays.
I don't disagree with you. I guess what I'm saying is I think that that's a living, breathing thing every week, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, that's the job of an offensive coordinator and a quarterback is to read a defense and find what's open that given week. This is what Bill Belichick was phenomenal at on both sides of the ball. Bill Belichick would come in and on as a defensive coordinator would be like, so that player's not beating us. So we're going to go crazy over there and make them do something else and see if they can do it. That's what the coordinators are doing. I mean, maybe there are some days where it's time to dink and dunk and bubble screen and get the ball out and do all that. And then maybe there are other days where you're going to find stuff open downfield. Brandon Ayuk goes for over 100 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
So, again, like my issue with the 49er offense is the red zone and the buttoned up. It's not the moving of the ball. The moving of the ball is moving. The ball is moving.
Yeah, for the most part.
Right, so that I don't know. Like, to me, if you want to have a play-calling conversation inside the 20, that's fair. Outside of that, I don't know. Ball's moving. I don't care if it's deep, short, run, pass, scramble, flip upside down, throw it around your back like Mahomes, whatever. If the ball's moving and you're getting first downs, the ball's moving.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
And then you get it down in the red zone and everything kind of gets
freezes. And that's that to me, that's the conversation that they're probably having inside the 49er hallways right now. What the hell's going on when you get down to the 15 and the 10-yard line?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be their absolute bread and butter.
It was the fourth drive, second quarter, Kittle with a drop. First play of the drive. It was one of those ones that just was...
I remember that one.
Just,
now.
I mean,
anyway,
inconsequential.
Yeah, but you get my point. Like, with him, at least, everything was pretty close to the line of scrimmage. It was pretty intermediate, over the middle,
intermediate,
type of 5-10 yard passes.
I wonder how many passes were thrown at or behind the line of scrimmage. I know that there was the one, there was just a quick little pop pass, but other than that, most of it was deeper down the field. I just would like to see, yesterday, the one thing I was looking at that was lacking was Debo getting the ball early in a play, a quick hitter, and giving him a chance. Now, you thought that Debo looked a little sluggish. I didn't really see that because I didn't see him really involved much in the plan at all. You know, he had, what, two carries and two catches? Is that the number?
I don't even have the numbers in front of me.
Yeah, sure, I'll pull
it up. He was. I mean, you want to talk about inconsequential.
He had one catch and three carries.
Yeah, Debo looked invisible. Why? Bad play calling? Debo didn't make the most of opportunities. I don't know. He was open on the very first play of the game, and Brock missed him. So that one's on Brock. Let's go to Will in the East Bay. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys were on fire today.
You too, Will.
Well, I haven't gotten hard yet. Anyway.
Here
you know,
comes.
I kind of look from the macro standpoint here, and I'm kind of like equating a master chef, you know, who has all these patrons who will rely on a specific dish or dishes. Okay, well, if he leaves a key ingredient out, those patrons are going to know it, and they're not going to patronize his business anymore. And not to sound too redundant here, but this team, the offense now in particular, is slightly off their axis, okay? They're just, without McCaffrey in there, you know, the key ingredient, they're just off their axis. And when you got a line, an offensive line that's like Swiss cheese from time to time, you know, it's easy to say, well, do more of these passes or more of this run or, you know. I mean, frankly, that one down at the goal line, why kick the field goal? Give it a shot. Run it, try to get that ball in there and step on their head. If nothing else, they're going to be pinned back, okay? There's just certain times I think you got to go for it. But this whole McCaffrey thing, you know, you're missing that 5-tool ingredient. It not only upsets the apple cart, okay? You know, the wheels are falling off a little bit. But it's not like it's not fixable. And like you said, Willard, you know, this league is, if you had to put a word to it. It's called mediocrity so far, you know, which could be a saving grace in the long run for the 49ers.
Will, thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate that. I have a hard time giving too much slack over the McCaffrey thing. It's fully understood. I'm not going to dispute the idea that it changes what you can do with your approach on offense in a significant way. We've been told that by everybody who knows the X's and O's. Like, what you can do with your offense is severely limited, even with a productive running back like Jordan Mason. However, sorry.
Deal with it.
Like, look around the league. My God, the Chiefs are going to play here in an hour and a half with no wide receivers. None. Name one. I mean, okay, Xavier Worthy, but he's a rookie. But, like, this receiving core was supposed to be Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown with Isaiah Pacheco behind him. That was the offense. They're all gone. And I don't hear anyone in Kansas City going, yeah, but.
Yeah, woe is us. We're 4-0.
We're 4-0.
Yeah, and favored by 5.
And your running back, who is filling in for Christian, is crushing it, except for the fumble yesterday. But he's awesome. You mean to tell me that, like, you can't function with this? With the way Jordan's running it, with Kittle, with Debo, with Brandon, with Juwan, with Juice, on and on. They've got plenty. They've got plenty. And their offense has moved the ball as if they've got plenty. So I get it. Christian's out. That stinks. I don't really equate that to these losses at all.
No.
Not even a little bit.
You don't get to be an offensive play-calling genius. I'm not saying that he's called himself that, but you don't get to be one of the smartest offensive minds in football and then use that as an excuse, because you have enough talent, even without Christian McCaffrey, to still make things happen in the red area. And I'm seeing them go 7 of 15. They got sacked twice, 3 field goals and 1 touchdown, 16 points in the red zone. And that was it for your scoring, other than the blocked field goal that was an incredible play by the special teams, and then D'Amador Lenore with the scoop and score. That was it for your scoring. So even if you don't have McCaffrey, that's when you use Debo Samuel in a more creative way, or you find a way in the red zone to get the job done, which they didn't.
Yeah, this is a weird one, by the way. And Lucas, I know that you went over this very, very closely. Kyle Shanahan's conference call today, he was not asked about the red zone issues. Like, only Brock got asked after the game yesterday. You don't ask the play caller what he sees?
I think yesterday he was asked about it.
Okay.
I don't know if there was an elaboration.
Sensation?
Today. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to let you say it. Thanks.
I did. I'll pay the buck. That's fine.
Yeah. Nice.
That's odd to me.
Cha-ching!
Appreciate it. That's odd to me. I would like to know what Kyle Shanahan sees in the red area, as to why it's not been more effective.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's question number one.
I'm looking at the transcript right now to see if there was anything that was asked. But, you know, each red zone trip that didn't work out is kind of unique. The one
sure.
You had Brock take the 9-yard loss and you wound up back at your own 24-yard line and you didn't have a field goal kicker, so you had to go for it there.